This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 211, for the weekend of November 21st to November 23rd, and this is what it sounds like when your podcast host day has been brewing. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Arthur.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. We're back! Sorry, guys, for missing last week, but I'm sure you're tired of hearing excuses about real life and that kind of stuff. So, and I apologize for missing a blog post. Because usually if we don't have an episode, I always put something up there. But last week was a rough week. So, Art, how you doing?
I am doing good, other than kind of dealing with a problem called trigger finger. I'm not going to go into the details. Go look it up. It's not what you think.
Well, that just begs the question, what game were you playing?
First-person shooter called Life.
Okay. all right. Thank you for that peek behind the curtain. Next time we'll keep it closed. Okay, so this is the part of the show where we talk about what happened at the box office last week. So, at number one, we have Dumb and Dumber 2, which came in at $36.1 million. Number two, we had Big Hero 6, which came in at $34.6 million. At number three, we had Interstellar, which came in at $28.7 million. Number four, new release Beyond the Lights, came in at $6.2 million. Wow, big drop. And at number five, we have Gone Girl that held on for with $4.5 million. So there is your top five. Anything surprise you, Art?
Dumb and Dumber, no doubt. I mean, really? That kind of... I'm looking at the numbers and I was like, it wasn't by much. I mean, it was just a hair's breadth, but that was shocking.
Yeah, it was a very surprising opening. But you know, at this, I guess ever since we, you know, got through August, there haven't been a lot of comedies that have come out. And there's a lot of people that fondly think about the original, myself included. I watched parts of it again, and, you know, and parts of it still make me laugh. But since we're talking about numbers, let's talk about a couple angles here for the opening weekend for this movie. So let's talk about the recent Jim Carrey movies, or all of Jim Carrey's movies. It's actually one of his best opening movies, this Dumb and Dumber 2, at $36.1 million. The last one that was over 30, we have to go back to 2009, A Christmas Carol, that opened with $30 million. If you go back to 2008, Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who opened at $45 million. And there's not a lot of movies where it went over, you know, there's a couple that barely went over 30. Batman Forever, back in 1995, came in at $52 million, but obviously he wasn't the lead actor in that movie.
Right.
But I think is, you know, Bruce Almighty is as big as opening at $67.9 million. And then going from the actors to the directors, the Farrelly brothers, this is the biggest opening they've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. So if you talk of this, these are all the movies that they've done. Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene, Osmosis Jones, Shallow Hal, Stuck on You, Fever Pitch, The Heartbreak Kid, Hall Pass, The Three Stooges, and then Dumb and Dumber 2. The next highest is Me, Myself, and Irene, which also had Jim Carrey, which came in at $24 million. So, yeah, it was impressive on multiple fronts.
Interesting. Mm. Now, okay, so you're looking at the Jim Carrey page, or a search. Can you search by, like, highest grossing for him?
I can if I didn't just close it. All right, hold on. Let me.
No, I'm sorry. I should have said something sooner.
No, that's all right.
I find that very surprising that that's a big opening for him. I mean, he is such, like, I feel like he's such a bankable actor. At least he was at, you know, at one point in his career. I don't know that he has that same draw anymore. But.
Okay, so his lifetime gross total, $2.5 billion. And his movies average $92.5 million.
Okay.
His highest gross is How the Grinch Stole Christmas at number one. Well, let's go through the top five here. Batman Forever at $343 million. Bruce Almighty, $326 million. Liar Liar, $320 million. And Dumb and Dumber, $241 million.
Okay. Interesting. So these are more like long tail movies. They're not, you know, huge on the front end, but they stay for a long time and just
right. So
build
yeah.
numbers.
Right. So they seem to have some staying power.
Right. Okay. That is interesting.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's. I guess we're done talking about the box office and last weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the one new movie that's coming out this weekend?
Yes, one new movie. It is coming out swinging, and I guess nobody wants to be up against it in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. Rated 71% fresh on the Tomatometer, 73 reviews counted, 52 fresh, 21 rotten. 99% want to see it out of 175,000 user ratings. That's pretty big. The worldwide phenomenon of The Hunger Games continues to set the world on fire with The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1, which finds Katniss Everdeen, Jennifer Lawrence, in District 13 after she literally shatters the games forever. Under the leadership of President Coyne, Julianne Moore, and the advice of her trusted friends, Katniss spreads her wings as she fights to save PETA, Joss Hutcherson, and a nation moved by her courage. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 is directed by Francis Lawrence, from a screenplay by Danny Strong and Peter Craig, and produced by Nina Jacobson's Color Force in tandem with producer John Killick. The novel on which the film is based is the third in a trilogy written by Susan Collins that has over 65 million copies in print in the U.S. alone. Rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action, some disturbing images, and thematic material. It is a drama, action, adventure, science fiction, and fantasy. Directed by Francis Lawrence, written by Danny Strong and Peter Craig. Actually, directed by Francis Lawrence II and Francis Lawrence.
Interesting.
Yes. 2 hours and 5 minutes. Not a lot of big surprises here in the cast. Jennifer Lawrence, Liam Hemsworth, Josh Hutcherson, Julianna Moore, Donald Sutherland, Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Stanley Tucci, Jeffrey Wright, a couple other people, but not names that I know. You know, I still haven't seen the second movie. I'm pretty sure it's available for free on Netflix.
Yeah. And speaking of numbers, Hunger Games could go for a three-peat in that it could be the only movie that I've had three straight $150 million openings.
Really?
Which, I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, and it would easily, if that happens, it would easily become the biggest opening weekend of this year.
Right,
because
right.
They only have, I think they only have to be Transformers, which I think did 100-something. So,
okay.
So, yeah. I probably will be seeing this with my daughter because we've seen, we didn't go to the first one in theater, but I took her to see the second one in theater. So, it's been a while since we've done a father-daughter movie. So, so I will have to report back next week on how it was if we end up going to see it.
Okay. I will be waiting.
All right. So, yeah, that was the one movie that comes out this weekend. So, we can now get to share time. And I think we decided that I will go first this week.
We did.
All right. So, but I do have to ask you this, Art. Have you seen any of the recent releases? Like, have you seen Interstellar or have you seen Big Hero 6?
I have not seen Interstellar. I have seen Big Hero 6.
Okay. So what can I talk about with Interstellar?
You can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
Spoilers don't bother me. You might want to say spoilers before you talk about it with, you know.
Okay, well,
on the other end, you know, give us a few minutes.
Maybe I might defer my talk about Interstellar.
For one more week?
Maybe for one more week. I went to go see it in the IMAX theater.
Okay.
And I definitely would recommend doing the IMAX if you can. I realize it's an $18 ticket. And
wow,
there's a big stink being made by all the movie people about that you got to see it in the 70 millimeter. But you know, again, the thing with IMAX is the sound system, you know, it'll blow your doors off.
Right.
And, but there was a couple times where they do some weird things with the sound that I almost had to walk out of the theater because it was so bad.
Interesting.
So I don't know if you see it in the 35 millimeter or the, you know, the regular theater or the regular print, if that is an issue. But as far as the movie, I was engrossed from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
Just because I'm a Christopher Nolan fanboy, even though right. I haven't seen all his movies, but you know, I've seen
big releases.
Yeah, I really liked you know, Where He's Going. Is definitely an interesting story, and I always feel different when I leave his movies. And this movie attacked me a little bit differently. I know that Tarantino, he's of the attitude that plot and visuals are his orchestra to elicit visceral reactions from the audience. And Nolan Nolan's kind of that way, at least to me. This movie, when I left Inception was more of a mental exhaustion about what just happened.
Right.
What does the ending mean? You know, because it kind of gets a little mysterious about, you know, what really happens when you go down, you know, too far in the dream world kind of thing. And was he really dreaming or was he not really dreaming? And, you know, what's with the ending kind of thing? All right. So this movie, I was more emotionally affected than I was mentally affected, because it seems like there's a lot of plausible things that occurred in this movie. And there's some things that are not so plausible. I know that, you know, in the press, they've been saying that, you know, it takes too long in the beginning, but it's kind of an old school structure where the first act kind of, you know, sets everything up.
Right.
Here are all the problems, and here, you know, when we get to the second act, here's what we're going to, you know, what we're going to do. I enjoyed all the performances of all the actors in this movie. There was a surprise cameo, which I was shocked I didn't hear about it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It's, If you do any looking online art, you can kind of figure it out who it is.
Oh, sure, I'm sure.
But I had no idea. But there's so many influences to 2001.
I've heard that comparison.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth watching. But I will say this. It does feel like it's 3 hours, even though it's probably a hair under 3 hours.
Okay.
And if you are into science and you want to, you know, there's a couple things that they kind of go fast and loose with some of the rules.
You know, and I don't. Okay, here's the thing. I was going to address that specific point because I have heard that criticism that, you know, it's not a. You know, like a hard science movie, you know, and it's like, well, okay, it's a movie. It's not a documentary. It's not an educational film. It is a movie. He is telling a story. People really need to back up on the, well, that's not the way it really works. I don't care about the way it really works.
I'm not really talking about that.
okay, but I'm saying, but that's one of the complaints that I've heard.
Right.
You know, is this whole hard science thing, and it's like, you know, we also don't have, you know, real interstellar travel. We have theories about how it works, but it's a movie. You know, take it down a notch, people.
Yeah, there. I didn't see a whole lot of technology in this movie that is, you know, generations away.
Right.
And I appreciate that. And I was fully tense when they're out in space. And there's actually a scene in the movie where one of the characters is like, you know, really, we're millimeters from getting sucked out into nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And they, there's robots in this movie. I loved how they implemented the robots because, you know, it, you just have to see the movie. So, you know, you definitely have to watch it. Okay. So,
I do really want to see it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding the time and getting
it. No, I think there's a long conversation that's going to be had, but I'd rather wait until you see it.
Okay.
Whenever that is. Okay. Let's talk about Big Hero 6. Now, I saw Big Hero 6 before I saw Interstellar, but I had a feeling that it was going to do better just because, you know, there's a cost when you go see a Christopher Nolan movie. But anyways, I thought Big Hero 6 was fantastic for what they went out to make. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I probably did, but I'm just going to reiterate it, that I wish that Baymax would be as big as a merchandising star as Olaf. Oh. But it's just, you know, obviously it's not going to happen because this isn't a princess movie, and, you know, it's not going to engage the female population as much as Frozen did. But God, he was the best thing about this movie.
He was amazing. He was amazing. Aubrey absolutely loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. She started calling herself Honey Lemon, and she was calling me Hero, and she was calling her mom Baymax. And Brittany was like, I don't know how to take that. And
right.
I said, you know what? He was the star of the show. Take it as a compliment.
He's not cuddly.
He is so cuddly. And he's also a badass when he has his armor on.
Yeah, exactly. So
it is a compliment. He is the star of that movie. And I don't know. I've been seeing those toys everywhere. I mean, I don't know. I will see how they sell on the, during the holiday season, and how much of a breakout that is. But you've seen the Infinity figures,
mm-hmm.
for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the Baymax figure, and it's like $15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a little piece of plastic that goes with a game that I don't have. And I never had to fight an urge so hard to not buy that little piece of plastic. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I want to take this home. I can't even play with it, but I still want it. So, no, I absolutely love the movie. We all thoroughly enjoyed it. Aubrey is still, you know, talking about it. And at this point, it has been a week and a half because we saw it.
Right.
Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that.
No,
we went saw it opening weekend, and
there was another level of appreciation that we all had because as a family we went to San Francisco last summer.
Okay.
And so a lot of the shots from Big Hero 6, even though they called it San Francisco or Sokyo.
Francisco, yeah.
It was neat seeing that, you know, as the backdrop for the movie. They got a really good, a younger voice cast for, you know, for the team.
Right.
I think I've talked about excited about TJ Miller playing Fred. I didn't realize it was Damon Wayans Jr. playing Wasabi. And I know last week I kind of railed against them calling a character Wasabi, but it totally made sense for why he was called Wasabi.
Right, yeah.
So I kind of have to, you know, go back on my, you know, distaste for them.
Right.
Using that as a character name.
Right. Because they were all just nicknames. They weren't their real names,
right.
You know? And yeah, I thought that was pretty funny too.
Yeah. And it seemed to move, and I didn't, you know, it was killing me because the what we thought was going to be the villain and who ends up actually being the villain, I knew one of the voices, but I couldn't place the other voice, and it was Alan Tudyk who he's starting to get a lot of work in the Disney's,
yeah,
kind of thing. But yeah, no, I totally recommend seeing it. And if you didn't like this movie, you know, you need to figure out why you're dead inside.
Right.
Yeah.
When did you lose your soul?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say because not everyone is, you know, if you don't have kids, I don't think you're going to too many animated movies.
No, that is true. That is true. But it was very entertaining.
Oh,
was,
and the short before the movie, I thought so for sure they were going to kill the dog.
Oh, no.
Well, because it starts at, you know, when they first get him and he's young. And I was like, oh, are they going to the up thing where, you know, they're going to show him getting older? And I'm glad they did it, but I was bracing for it during the whole thing. But yeah, it is unbelievable how they just get better and better and better.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know.
And I like that art style. It reminded me of, what was the other one? Was it Paper or Paper Airplane or Airplane?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact name, but it was all about the paper airplane.
Yeah, I don't think it was this, the one for the last Pixar movie, but the one before that.
Yeah, yeah. It was one I hadn't actually seen in the theater because I didn't see the, because I ended up watching the movie. I talked about it and I hadn't seen the, I think it was Lena who was like, did you see the short? And I'm like, you know what? I didn't even bother to check it out. So I'm going to have to go see which movie it was attached to.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was I saw it in the theater and I just walked in late. I don't remember what it was, but I actually saw the movie. I don't remember which movie it was, and then had to go back and watch the extras because I had completely missed it. But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was so cute. Yeah, everybody really liked it. It was thumbs up all around in the Santos house. We really enjoyed it. So
yeah, same here. My daughter couldn't stop talking about it. Which is rare because she's 13 and she's at that age where she thinks it's cool to not like stuff.
Right.
Okay. So, and a third movie that I went back and watched, Groundhog Day, because I've never watched it all the way through.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't see it in the theater.
Okay.
And whenever it's on cable, I always watched it in the middle. I never watched it from the beginning and I never saw how it ended. I think I saw most of the jokes.
Right.
But I didn't see how, you know, it got kind of spiritual toward the end.
Yes.
But yeah, it's still, I think it still holds up.
Absolutely. I watched it within the last year, I think it was.
Yeah. And I was gonna, oh my God. There was a podcast I was listening to, I think it was Doug Loves Movies, where Chris Elliott's daughter, I guess, is an actress now.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to have more on this than I than I have when I started talking about it. So anyways, so there's that. As far as TV, caught up in Star Wars Rebels? Well, not really, because not counting this last episode, and I'm still way behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so... And that's really the only TV that I'm really watching.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I am done. Art, what have you watched?
Okay. So we already discussed Big Hero 6. That was the biggie. I am completely caught up on Star Wars because I watched, like I was telling you, pre-show, we ended up, or maybe I didn't tell you. So you said you were running late, so we decided to run out to the store because we had a few things we needed to get. And then we got home, and then, you know, we had to go through Aubrey's bedtime routine. And so her bedtime routine consists of, and this has been working. This I am now 5 for 5 on the bedtime routine. So she gets one last show. We go and brush her teeth. We go into her room. I read her a story. I turn out the lights. Lay with her for a few minutes, and she promptly falls asleep. And this is, it is a nice, solid routine. It is working. I hope it works for the rest of forever. She is not sleeping well. So we have finally put that to rest for now. Hopefully that will continue to be the case. But we got back into the house, and I said, okay, so what do you want to watch for your one show? First, she said Frosty the Snowman. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not sure if we have Frosty the Snowman. We're not watching a whole movie. It's one show. So then she said Doc McStuffins. I said, okay, Doc McStuffins. And so I turn on, you know, TV, and I'm scrolling through the guide. And I see that there's a new Star Wars that we haven't watched yet. I said, oh, there is a new Star Wars Rebels. I said, but it's your choice. You can watch whatever you want. It's your show before you go to bed. And she's like, oh, Dad, let's watch Star Wars Rebels. I'm like, okay, well, come on over here. You know, let's snuggle up on the couch together and let's watch Star Wars Rebels. So I got to watch the latest episode and then get her into bed. So I am all caught up on that, and I am still just absolutely loving it. So you saw the Pitch Black kind of episode, because that was the one just before this one.
Yes.
And that was really good. And then the one before that was, what was one before that? It just, I felt like it was really dealing with some good, serious themes. You know, it was...
The Imperial Academy.
The Imperial Academy, yes, that was the one. I was blanking on what it was, but I felt like it was so good. Yeah, just the way they were really digging into the characters and what's going on in the world building, and I am just really, really enjoying this.
Well, I mean, they're really, you know, laying the groundwork for callback episodes with the boy they met.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So this episode just continued. They're just continuing to build their story, and I think they're doing it fantastically, and I am just very happy with the direction it's going. I am very behind in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have not even watched the 75 years of Marvel.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I watched the first 20 to 25 minutes, and you know, I was really enjoying it, you know, because I never didn't know a lot about, you know, how Marvel got started, and all that other stuff.
I did hear an interesting story about the 75 years of Marvel. There was I actually heard this on another podcast. Tell me if you heard this or not. There was a image that made it into the show. That was not an actual Marvel image. It was a fan-created image.
No, I didn't. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, whoever was putting the show together went, you know, digging out on the internet looking for images to use within the context of the show, and they found this image. I forget the artist's name, but it was not an image they had created or paid for. It was just a piece of fan art, something somebody did, and it slipped into the show. So, you know, it got brought to their attention. Hey, you used this without any, you know, any right or any, anything. And so people were kind of expecting a dust up, and the artist said, hey, you know what? I'm not looking to cause any problems. I'm not going to sue. It's just a piece of fan art. You know, I did it. I used, you know, it was just me copying some other artist's, you know, thing and kind of putting my own little spin on it and whatever, no big deal. I'm happy that they thought it was good enough that it ended up on the show. The show producer's response was, you know, hey, they contacted him. They said, you know, we're really sorry. You did a good job that, you know, your piece of art slipped into our show. You know, we want to make sure that you're financially compensated. So they actually paid him, you know, for using his work in their show.
Oh, cool.
Very happy endings all around.
Yeah.
So it was a nice to see people on the internet not overreacting to things, and nice to see a corporate entity doing the right thing. So I thought that was interesting, and now I'm going to have to go look for that when I finally do get around to watching that and catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm two episodes behind, plus the special. So three total. I have been watching a lot of Community lately.
Really?
Yes. I've watched it on and off, but not with any regularity. But I got a buddy, he's got the DVDs, and so we're watching a few more episodes. I had been looking for, and I'd never managed to catch the first D&D episode. And I watched that and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Brittany, yeah, that's probably the best half hour of an episodic comedy that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was so good. And Brittany was sitting there, and she's watching it, and she goes, "How come you guys don't play D&D this good?" And I looked her right in the face. I said, "Because we don't have extra money for, you know, sound beds and editing."
Yeah. Oh my God. It was the. There's so many great things in that half hour. When they got rid of Dan Harmon for season, I think after season three. You could just tell, and it's hard for me to watch after, because Troy isn't on it anymore.
Right.
And they've got some new cast members, but that D&D episode, I think at Ken Jeong in the black face for the
dark elf.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And, you know, Shirley's like, no one else has seen this hate crime.
No one else is going to say anything about this hate crime that's going on over there. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
So I've got another thing I haven't seen that I have no idea whether I'm going to seek it out and see it or whether I'm going to let the hype wave ride on by, but have you seen Too Many Cooks?
No.
Okay. Have you heard of Too Many Cooks?
Not really.
Okay. So I guess it is the current viral video that is going around that everybody is talking about. And so I've now heard about it from like four different instances, either people, podcasts, or internet posts. And so at this point, I'm at that tipping point of, do I want to commit and watch it, or do I want to be the guy that says, yeah, I took a pass on that? So I don't know. But I just thought I'd mention it and see where you came down on it and if you'd heard of it or had seen it or whatnot.
No,
so now I put it in your ear.
Yeah, I don't.
No idea.
I have no idea what that's all about.
What Too Many Cooks is. Okay. All right. So, and that is it for sure time for me, at least as far as I can remember right in this moment. I am probably going to watch the Sinbad animated movie tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I brought it home some time ago to watch with Aubrey. But I didn't force it on her, but she's been noticing it. And then today, she told her mom she wanted to watch it, and then they put it in, and so she watched it without me, and so now I'll probably make her watch it again tomorrow because she's a kid. She likes watching things over. But she doesn't call it Sinbad. She calls it The Story of the Real Pirate Princess and the Other Guy. Because that,
it's amazing how their minds work.
It is. Yeah. I said that is the perfect way to describe that movie from the cover. The Real Pirate Princess and the Other Guy. So hopefully I'll have a report for that on next week.
All right. So to borrow a line from Slice of Sci-Fi, and now the news. Art, do you have any news items for us?
I have some news items. I have... So the first thing that caught my eye, are you familiar with Beta Ray Bill?
Yes.
So it has come out that James Gunn has absolutely, totally denied that one image that everybody thought was Beta Ray Bill is not Beta Ray Bill, blah, 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 blah. So dashing everyone's hopes of at some point seeing Beta Ray Bill. I am a big Beta Ray Bill fan from way back. So we'll see that where that goes, but... I just that caught my eye, and I thought I'd bring that up. So.
All right. I have one news item, and right now I'm trying to figure out why, from where I'm sitting, why it's such a slow news week. But I guess that we're starting to hear about castings for the Marvel TV series that are going to be on Netflix.
Right.
And I guess one of them is going to be a Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Series. And so they have four potential names. If you, according to Deadline.com, they have it down to these four actresses: Kristen Ritter, Alexandra Daddario from True Detective. Kristen Ritter was Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember that one.
Teresa Palmer from Warm Bodies. I think she was also in Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Okay.
If you saw that. And an actress from Arrow, Jessica DeGaux, or DeGoo? I don't know who she is. So I don't know who you are rooting for. I kind of want to see Kristen Ritter, personally.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have a dog in that fight. I'll have to look more closely at the four actresses and see. I want it to be good. I don't care.
I'm going to have to look now, but I think Kristen Ritter was in a Marvel. She's in the short film that came on the Avengers Blu-ray.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to research that. So, all right, Art, what else do you have?
Okay. So, the next thing that caught my eye, Chris Pratt attached lead role in controversial comic book adaptation. So, they are bringing Cowboy Ninja Viking to the screen, and Chris Pratt is currently attached to be the titular Cowboy Ninja Viking. The premise of the comic book is it's following the adventure of a covert government assassin who possesses the battle skills of a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking, because why not? I have actually never heard of this comic, but I guess that could be interesting. We'll see where that goes.
I was expecting the story to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they've been talking about that he wants to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, okay.
You know, do with that what you will.
That could work. I, you know, it's all in the same universe now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'm about done with news. So what else do you have?
That's fine. Okay. So I had one other article that caught my eye. Seven science fiction women who are so much more than eye candy. And so it's one of those lists. I had to look. I've got to see what is it all about. And, could you hazard a guess as to any of the names on this list? Who do you think when you think of sci-fi women who are more than eye candy?
I don't know. I'm stumped right now. Why don't you hit me with one?
I will. Okay, so the first one really surprised me because, you know, Hollywood continues to do that thing where science fiction and fantasy are the same thing to them. And that will continue to bother me from now until I die. So the first one on the list is Buffy Summers.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
I can see that, but once again, it goes to that. It's fantasy, not science fiction. Mm-hmm. But number two on the list is number six, Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
And I thought, yeah, that's a good one. Number three, the one I would have actually put first, Ripley.
Oh, yeah.
She should have been first on the list because she is, like, she was the first, like, truly great female protagonist science fiction movie. Couldn't get enough of her. And, you know, what is this? That's, is that almost 30 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
And, you know.
85. So it'll probably be 30 next year.
Right. And I'd make some comments about those little cat and white panties, but I'm just going to move on.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Felicity Smoke, who is the hacker from Arrow, which I am still enjoying. I've probably just gotten another. You know what? I have gotten another couple episodes of that watched. And still enjoying it. I hear actually season two is better and people didn't like season one as much. And that makes me very happy because I am enjoying season one very much. And to hear that it gets better in season two. And then I can't wait for season 3 when it starts crossing over with a flash. So, moving on, they put the new Uhura on the list. And I know I approve. I know there are a lot of people who did not care for the character, did not care for her portrayal, do not care for the new Star Trek period. But I was happy to see her make the list.
Yeah, agreed.
And then, number 6, I am not familiar with the name Syl. From the movie Species. I didn't care for that movie. You remember it?
Yeah, they're talking about, now I can't remember her name. Oh, was it Natasha Henstridge?
Natasha Henstridge,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, that movie was okay. I think they're reaching a little bit for having her on the list.
I didn't, but you know what? The last one on the list made me very happy. Sam, from Her.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I thought they were going to go with Black Widow, personally.
They could have, but I don't think, I think they, for as much as they say science fiction fantasy, same bucket, comic book movies, different bucket.
Yeah.
What?
Well.
Hollywood makes me so angry.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Well, I think it is time to end the show. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And go watch a movie, and we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.